listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it, I'm RJ live coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We got an action-packed Monday this hour for you. Yeah, the combine. How much do we love football as a country? We're watching and talking the combine. But this Kyler Murray situation, I'm not sure if we've ever seen anything like it before. Lakers going in the opposite direction. And just maybe Straight Out of Vegas is affecting the conversation when it comes to NFL injuries. Joined in studio, the pros you know, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start here on Straight Out of Vegas in the NFL, where the NFL Combine wrapped up in Indianapolis this weekend. And the story all weekend long, all last week, and starting out today on our show is none other than the Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, and his climb towards the top of the draft board.
Yeah, you know, I haven't followed every story, Jonas, and maybe you can help me here. So he threw the ball exceptionally well, I'm guessing.
Oh, no. He didn't throw the ball at all.
Oh, well, then he must have had one of those all-time 40s.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. He didn't run at all.
He didn't run. He didn't throw. Wow. All right. A little sarcasm. But it brings up an interesting point. And, Brad, you... Where college kisses the pros, that kiss point they call it in tech, one of your expertise, because you follow colleges, all the college knowledge so closely. You also handicap the NFL quite well. When have we ever seen in a 10-day period a player with no really new information? Now, let's set aside he was a little bit bigger height-wise than we expected. An inch?
Yep.
Now listen, put your fingers again. Even if you're driving, just take it away from the 10-2 just for a minute now, if you feel safe enough to do it. And then put an inch out there and look at it and then think, okay, that's what the hubbub's about? An inch?
An extra inch is important, RJ.
Listen, your personal life, keep it personal. But to me, let's start with quantifying how big of a movement, a up arrow we've seen with Kyler Murray, because Vegas has had odds on it the whole way. Not that long ago, 10 days ago, you could have bet, where's Kyler Murray gonna go? Over under pick 9.5. So if he went in the first 9, it's under, as they say, which means earlier. If he goes 10 or later, that would have been the other way. That would have been later. Okay. The money was about even, meaning you could have bet 50-50 either way. All right. So if I would have been in a bar and someone that's, you know how like if someone's like a UFC fighter, they think they're tough. It's like, I want to take on Chuck Liddell, you know? And imagine someone thought like that with me, but it's odds, right? Hopefully not a street fight in the back alley. I'm not really up for that. But it's like, RJ Bell, you think you know the odds? We always hear you say things like,
and you're in no position to challenge my expertise.
And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, you're right about that. Well, where do you think Kyler Murray's going? Well, I would have said, well, the marketplace is saying right around 9.5. Now, the measurements came in. Back to that inch, Fez, an important inch. Now, what, Brad, at that point, what happened to the odds?
Yeah, Kyler Murray went from minus 175, meaning he'd be taken in the first nine picks, was the favorite, all the way up to minus 300. You had to bet $300 to win 100 that Kyler Murray would be drafted in the first nine picks of the draft.
Yeah, so there was really two tiers to the growth. One was the initial 50-50 at 9.5. Then it was drifting. With no new data. It was just general optimism. The stories in the newspaper, radio, etc. Up to 175. And that was about a 63% chance he goes in the top nine. And then it went to 75% with that inch. That inch got you to 75. So, okay, I get it. What's happened since? We can tell you what the odds have done. But can anyone here tell me what new information do we have?
The rumors coming out of the combine are Cliff Kingsbury has kind of maybe sent some smoke signals out there that they're likely to take Kyler Murray as the first pick.
Okay, now isn't one of the basic premises of Straight Out of Vegas is follow the money, and whenever money's involved, assume people are acting in their best interests. Now, what would be in the best interest of Kingsbury to let this information out? Because there's one of two possibilities. Well, there's three possibilities. One is they know for sure they're going to take him. The other is they know for sure they're not going to take him. And the middle is they're thinking about taking him. The only thing you could gain in any of the three scenarios is if you're not going to take him, you feel like, well, let me act like I love them. Let me act like I value. Like you're thinking of selling your house. You got two houses and you got to decide to sell one. And you're showing a guy maybe that might buy it. Say, man, that pool. You can't tell from here, but if you jump in that pool, it's the best pool ever. Well, why are you saying that? Well, you want to shine up, buff up what it is you're looking to sell. So other than buffing up Kyler Murray because you might be looking to sell the draft choice, you need to pick him. Why else would we believe what Kingsbury's saying?
We wouldn't.
But all of a sudden now, and here's the shocker. Right now, it's a 50-50 chance based on Las Vegas odds that Kyler Murray goes number one. So a week or so ago, it was 50-50. He'd go in the top nine. Now it's 50-50. Kyler Murray going number one or not is pretty much a 50-50 bet. Fez, thoughts?
Well, I think at this point, you got to look towards betting no, he's not going to go number one. It sure looks like public sentiment has overreacted to what could well be a smokescreen.
I know. It just feels, Brad, it feels like you in our pre-show discussions felt like this made more sense.
Well, if Kyler, if he's going to be warranted as the number one pick, there's only one team that I could at least make a justification for. It would be Cliff Kingsbury, former college coach who recruited Kyler Murray out of high school. Him with the first overall pick makes the most sense for me.
Now, first off, a new coach isn't deciding who goes number
one. That's true.
Right? Number two, even if you're right, Brad Powers, wouldn't the move be trade down to two or three or four? Because the theory is no one else would take him at one. Mm. So get someone, trade up, take some whoever they want. And then the theory is he's some. Now, not that you can necessarily go to 9 or 10, but even, I mean, we've seen the Halls teams have gotten. What was it? The Jets gave up to go up two spots, yep. Am I remembering right? They gave up two number twos or something like that. I mean, so it just feels unlike anything I've seen. And I'll go back once again. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. It's one thing to have a monster game, and then it's like a bowl game, and it's like, see, he is that good. It's another thing, oh my God, he ran a 4.22, or okay, he's not running, he's not throwing. And let's be candid, if we want to say interview skills, if anything, you look at the Dan Patrick interview. And again, listen, not judging and saying, oh, that's who that person is, but certainly not a positive on the ledger sheet. I mean, this is a fundamental change in the NFL. So pregame.com, stats and research. We've got every starting quarterback in the NFL. Now, we keep hearing Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. Okay, fine. Kyler Murray's 5'10 or so. Russell Wilson, 5'11. Okay, you could make the case. Well, first off, you could say he's the exception that proves the rule. Where's the other under 6 foot quarterbacks, right, that are even starting? I'm not saying elite. I'm not saying worthy of a number one pick. I'm saying, where are the other ones? Well,
there isn't any.
They're playing in the AAF, perhaps. Fez is batting them, but they're still in the AAF. Now, this is what's pretty amazing. Drew Brees, always known as short, six foot. Jimmy G, oh, I'm sorry, check that. Baker Mayfield, 6'1". No other starting quarterback in the NFL is below 6'2". So we're not talking about the idea of, oh, he's 5'10", but if he was just 5'11", we'd be fine. Or if he was just 6 foot, we'd be fine. There's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and right now, 29 of them are 6'2 or higher or taller. The only exception, Baker Mayfield is 6'1", Drew Brees is 6 foot, Russell Wilson at 5'11". So at 5'10", Kyler Murray is 4 inches or more shorter than almost every quarterback in the NFL.
And I think it's important to talk about Russell Wilson. Let's assume Russell Wilson just had decided to play baseball and he didn't play in the NFL. Given that, and given the stats that you just gave, RJ, I'd make the case that Kyler Murray wouldn't even be considered to be a first-round draft pick, given that everyone else was 6 foot or taller.
RJ Buff, straight out of Vegas, that's Steve Fezzik. Brad, we were talking before the show, Kyler Murray's projections but before this football season was, I'm playing 1 year of football and I'm heading to baseball.
Yep.
He exceeded expectations, but by how much? Meaning, how much better did Kyler Murray play in this year's college football season than you expected?
I think a lot of people thought he'd be a top five quarterback.
All right, what did you think?
I thought he'd be a top three quarterback.
All right. So you thought he was a top three quarterback entering the year.
Yep.
Who were the other two?
Dwayne Haskins and Tua Tagovailoa. Tua being a little bit of a surprise.
Okay. Now, after the season, who's the top three?
Those were the top three. Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, and Tua.
And would you make the case that Murray's clearly the best of the three?
I can't make that case.
Jonas, as a fan watching Murray, Did he clearly seem so much better than a lot of the smaller quarterbacks that put up great numbers over the years?
Yeah, he seemed like he was more explosive. He seemed like he had a better arm than a guy like maybe Johnny Manziel. He actually had a better year, I think, than what Baker Mayfield had in his Heisman Trophy winning season.
Okay, that's fair, but we could also talk about a lot of quarterbacks that had really good high. This is where the conversation gets complicated, because I can remember some Hawaii quarterbacks. I mean, the things that you can do in college at a certain size, these are guys that sometimes don't even get drafted.
Yep.
All right. Now, the idea that Murray's just a little bit bigger maybe than some of those guys and just a little bit stronger arm, that sounds like a conversation that maybe is a late first round pick. The idea that we went from a guy that wasn't even going to play football again, like literally when the season started, if you were taking a 4 month nap and woken up, the theory was you would have missed the end of Kyler Murray's football career. And now he is 50-50 to go, based on Vegas odds, to go number one in the NFL draft. When we come back, It's in the contract. We got to talk LeBron in one of the first two segments. It's LeBron, but I'll tell you this, it's not good for LeBron.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a few moments, we are going to tell you about the future in L.A., and it doesn't look bright for one franchise.
No, Lakers in trouble. Speaking of trouble, the ultimate trouble, Luke Perry passes away. And, you know, it's funny because each generation has their, you know, people that matter. And, you know, to me, kind of grown up with 90210, it was like, wait a minute, that's, you know, he's a peer, you know. And I got to tell you, it's a little young. So, and I think he had two or three kids. So, got to wish him the best, but pretty tough. And, oh, by the way, let's still enjoy the weather in Vegas. 70 degrees, so good news there. And the neon is, what do you think, Brad? Let's say it's chugging along.
Yeah, it's chugging along. And reports out of Vegas are also stating that Brad Powers has a bone to pick with a certain somebody on the show.
That's true. That's true. But, we'll give Luke Perry one last thing here.
There are two ways to enter the final chamber. Free or not free.
Remember that, Brad. But...
Yeah, I mean, Jonas, I mean, the difference between our show and other shows, we don't let you slide if you're going to make some points here that can be at least discussed.
What do you mean let it slide? You haven't said anything yet. So he said Baker Mayfield. Well, hold on. Let's set this up. Is Jonas said Baker Mayfield had an inferior senior year to Kyler Murray. Or you could reverse it and say Kyler Murray had a superior senior year. And then we go to break and Brad goes, I'm not so sure. I totally agree with that. So it's like now's the time. 200 yeah. stations coast to coast. Make your case.
Well, statistically, Kyler Murray a little bit ahead of Baker Mayfield. But I think that's so deceiving. Because one thing in college football that makes stats deceiving, you can have from year to year different strength of schedules. And I'll make the case that Baker Mayfield 2 years ago faced a lot tougher of a schedule than what Kyler Murray faced last year. One game in particular, Ohio State on the road in the horseshoe. And who's Oklahoma playing last year? Army. Army replaces Ohio State, a home game. And also Baker Mayfield missed a couple games, so that's going to hurt his stats. And also, Kyler Murray didn't face an elite TCU defense, which has been the best defense in the Big 12 the last couple of years. They took a major downfall last year. Baker Mayfield's senior year faced that TCU defense not once, but twice. So deceiving. I think Baker Mayfield had the superior season, not Kyler Murray.
So you're saying not even, they're even. You're saying Mayfield, it's not only that Jonas is wrong, you're almost saying he's double wrong.
He's double wrong.
Double wrong. Any reply? Jonas, now I know you are reticent to debate on talk radio debate shows, but any thoughts?
Well, listen, I will agree with Brad that the competition was tougher for Baker Mayfield. I was saying from a statistical standpoint, the edge would go to Kyler Murray. And from a team standpoint, I think the offense was better than with Kyler Murray than they were Baker Mayfield. But I think Baker Mayfield's the better quarterback. I just think statistically Kyler Murray was a little better than he was.
Yo, homeboy, welcome to the hood, brother.
I mean, listen, if there's problems, there's problems. But you know what makes this such an interesting conversation is because of the optimism about Mayfield. Really, the underlying current of this conversation is, well, wait a minute. If Mayfield's able to be one of the up-and-coming quarterbacks in the NFL, then Kyler Murray had a better, let's assume Jonas is right. Well, Kyler Murray had a better year, so why couldn't he? And, well, first it gets into the conversation. We could do a whole segment on, and we probably will sometime in June, Fez, if you're redrafting quarterbacks right now, I just want your Malcolm Gladwell blink instinct. The entire league is open. They're all at the basketball courts. You probably didn't play Adam and Dayton, but you would ride your bike by and see who, you know, kind of look who was playing. Imagine they were all in the middle. Where do you pick Baker Mayfield right now with quarterbacks?
Number one. Versus the other rookies, the top five rookies.
Unfortunately, I know you didn't stop at the courts and actually see who was there. I said if all quarterbacks.
24.
20. All right, so you have Baker Mayfield as the 24th quarterback you would pick.
Yes.
Is that accounting for age or just for the next one season?
One season only.
Okay. So in a weird way, we're saying, well, Baker Mayfield is the 24th best quarterback, though he's entering his second year, so he's got some upside. But he's proof that a smaller version of him might just be okay. Maybe we should take him number one.
Isn't this what Steph Curry's done to the NBA? Like, how many small guys are now getting a chance? Guys like Trae Young, who maybe would have never gotten that chance, except Steph Curry showed you something, and now teams are more willing to take an opportunity to draft a guy like that.
You know something? I'm shocked. That is such a great point from Jonas. For a guy who doesn't like to debate, but think about it. You're betting on a fundamental change. As those that went to college and want to sound smart might say, a paradigm shift. What's a paradigm? It's the basic assumption. It's the construct that you're making decisions around. It's a paradigm in our society that going to college is a good thing. It's a paradigm. Tolerance is a good thing. There's all these assumptions that we live by. Now, over time, those assumptions change. Sometimes they change in a quantum leap. Sometimes it's incrementally. We've got a list of quarterbacks here, and we said it earlier, it bears repeating, 32 starting quarterbacks. And the only ones below 6'2 in the NFL are Baker Mayfield, Drew Brees, and Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray's 5'10, 4 inches shorter than a Jimmy G, who is 6'2. So it's not as if, oh, you know, this is like a paradigm shift. Now, what makes it, the belief that Kyler Murray not only could play, I mean, listen, Lamar Jackson went at the end of the first round. You could make the case, and I think a valid case, Lamar Jackson's not going to be an effective NFL quarterback. In fact, if you said, let's bet 50 dimes, Fez, that in 7 years will Lamar Jackson be one of the top 10 quarterbacks, I'd make you put the money in escrow, but I would certainly make that bet today. I would say no, no, no.
Yeah, and you'd have a fine wager. I think a better debate is, will he be in the league 7 years from now?
But what did Baltimore risk? Now, we could debate Baltimore risked more by letting go of Flacco, by now building the offense around him, drafting around him. Maybe you're taking a fullback where you wouldn't have before. But that's on the edges. They risked the 32nd pick, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first pick to risk that on a paradigm shift, a fundamental shift in the NFL. Oh, by the way, with one of the loudest voices in the room being a college coach that has different paradigms, different fundamentals. Because let's be candid, Steve Spurrier is in the AAF right now. Mm-hmm. He's not in the NFL.
Undefeated.
And big difference, Steve Spurrier was a successful college coach. Cliff Kingsbury, not a successful college coach.
And you can see those if you take out KU. And
13-35, take out Kansas in Big 12 play. That's his record. 13-35.
Is that bad?
So I know I'm forgetting somebody. Who is the top half of the NFL coach, better than average, that got his start with an extended, it's not was 2 years a position coach, you know, like Bill Parcells was at Army, or who was known nationally as a college coach first, that's a good NFL coach?
Bill O'Brien. He was at Penn State. Did a decent job at Penn State.
All right. Now, let's go. Is he top half of the league? All right. Let's call that one. To me, he's not top half of the league, but you're right. He's top three quarters of the league. Anybody else?
Because Pete Carroll started with the Patriots.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is we have two paradigm shifts that seem to be necessary for Kyler Murray going to Arizona to work. One is a quarterback smaller than we've ever seen succeed, is going to succeed enough to be the number one pick in the draft, and a college coach is going to become very good at the NFL, no matter how good they were in college, and obviously with Kingsbury. Tell that stat again, Brad.
13-35 in Big 12 play. Take out Kansas. That's what his record was.
So I don't know if that makes Kingsbury sound worse or Kansas sound worse. like they're the one. It's almost like saying, you know, Jack, you haven't won a game down the courts except for Fezzik for like months. You know, it's like, are you mad if you're Jack or you're mad if you're Fezzik? It's one of those questions. In just 1 minute, LeBron James, and it might even be worse than Kansas. Well, no, it's not worse than Kansas, but it's bad for LeBron.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, Dan Beyer.
News from the NFL, the franchise tags are being placed around players from the league, including in Dallas. DeMarcus Lawrence, the defensive end for the second straight year, received the franchise tag from the Cowboys today. Reports out of Big D say that Lawrence has no intention of playing under the tag for 2019, which would pay him more than $20 million for that season. The Texans placed the franchise tag on defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, while the Seahawks did so with defensive end Frank Clark. Chiefs placed the franchise tag on outside linebacker Dee Ford. Falcons did so with defensive tackle Grady Jarrett. And Cleveland.com is reporting the Browns are receiving trade offers for running back Duke Johnson. Mountain West Conference officials today say that the conduct of the individuals from both Nevada and Utah State in the handshake line and locker rooms were the reason for the postgame fracas between the squads on Saturday. The Mountain West Conference did say in their statement that the fans storming the court had no role in the disagreement between Utah State and Nevada. In the NBA, Sixers center Joel Embiid practiced today after missing the last five games with a sore knee. Tiger Woods has a neck strain. He's not going to play in the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week, but hopes to play in the Players' Championship in a couple of weeks at TPC Sawgrass. One other note to pass along from the Big Ten Conference, Jim Delaney, the commissioner, will retire in the summer of 2020. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here. Fox Sports Radio coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR. We will take a look ahead at a doubleheader in college hoops on a Monday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
We have a special guest in studio. My wife's mother making an appearance, sitting in. Couple times in that Baker Mayfield debate, it looked like she was going to jump in and start talking, but she held back. Now, here is the amazing part, though. We've been doing the show, what, about 6 months?
Yep.
So our studios, and we have a blended studio office complex, I think it's fair to say, here in Vegas. My wife, who works for the company, this is the first time she's been about 20 yards away for 6 months. First time she's ever stepped foot in the studio during the show. Now, listen, you know, I judge others. Maybe I need to be judged.
Women, weak and leg.
Guys, speaking of weak legs, how about those L.A. Lakers who have now lost four of their last five? They are 4.5 games out of the playoffs in the Western Conference following an embarrassing performance against the worst team in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns, this past weekend.
Oh, man, Fez. Well, let's start with the math. Vegas does that better than any other place. Right now, what are the odds the Lakers make the playoffs?
Approximately 12%, RJ.
12%. Ooh. Now, at those numbers, so it's minus 900, no, plus 600, yes?
Correct.
What if you force bet? I can't be any clearer. Forced bet.
Gosh, you know, I've been against the Lakers so much, RJ, but it's 6-1. I'm not laying minus 900, so forced bet, I would say yes now.
But you're saying you think the number's just about right.
I am.
Does anyone like anything at either minus 900 or plus 600.
I would lean towards the Noah minus 900.
Why?
Well, you know, a place like 538 actually puts the odds at 7% for the Lakers. And even pull behind.
It's funny because 538 had the odds much higher about 2 weeks ago than you thought, Fez. Now it's flipped the other way.
And a pull behind the curtain here in the pre-show production meeting, Fez thought 12% was too high. So I'm going to play against his words there.
Okay. So let's just say this. It's a long shot right now. It's hard to lay 900, but I probably would lay it. And it's something that, you know, quite frankly, I spoke of. I didn't think it would come this quickly, but it's something I talked about last week.
Do you know how some people get premonitions? I'm one of them.
And what it was that shutting this team down is there'd be scenarios where a team fighting for the playoffs, even though the odds were going against them. So imagine you're trying to make the Olympics and you entering thinking the odds are 50-50. Now, what's interesting is, if I recall, the Lakers were minus 600 to make the playoffs entering the season.
Correct. The yes was minus 600.
So just you know, broad math-wise, it was like 85% chance they were going to make it.
Right.
So this is, I imagine that, let's keep the Olympic analogy going. All right, it's 85% you're going to make the Olympics, like Molly's game, the ski team, let's say. And then some things go wrong, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now you're down to 15%. The average person would say, listen, this is the only chance I'm ever going to get. I mean, when Rocky went down in the 14th in the first fight, and Mickey's going, stay down. Now think about how tough Mickey is, right? He was getting punched with the nail, remember? You think if he's saying stay down, you probably stay down. Well, what happens? Rocky gets up, caught me, Mick. I don't want a rematch. We know the story. There wouldn't have been a Rocky V, Fez. For those that don't listen to the podcast, now listen, I really like Fezzik. So what I'm going to say right now, probably 50% of you will not think the same of him after. But truth is truth. You want me to say it or you say it, Fez?
You go ahead and say it.
He said during the podcast this week that Rocky V was better. Now, that's the one with the turtleneck and the street fight. All right, that's all you need to remember. Was better than Rocky II.
Well, the first 90 minutes of Rocky II was so bad until the great 20 minutes.
Hold on a second. You actually conceded the point.
I did.
But now you're fighting the same point?
No, you're right. What? Because Rocky V just doesn't have 20 good minutes. And Rocky II has 20 great minutes.
I mean, Jonas, what do you think of this?
Fez, come on, man. I don't mind you betting on the AAF, all right? I've done worse, all right? You bet on the AAF. You're the only person in America that knows that Steve Spurrier's undefeated as head coach of the Orlando, whatever the hell they're called. But you cannot honestly tell me you think Rocky V is better than Rocky II. That movie was terrible.
I mean, there was no drinking involved. But anyway, guys, please try to forget that about Fez. Or you could think of it this way. You could say, wait a minute. If he's so clueless about everything else in life except batting, but he has a mansion and a yacht, he must be a heck of a batter.
Specialization, RJ.
Oh, maybe too much. Maybe. I mean, you got to be a good enough batter to have someone leading you around and like covering your mouth in certain spots. But anyway, if you're thinking like Rocky to bring this back around, you're thinking, hey, maybe I've only got a 15% chance, but 15's better than nothing. Go, go, go. But with the Lakers, it's like, well, wait a minute. Their goal is a title in the next 4 years. If somehow they put a bunch of effort on LeBron's legs, lo and behold, they just slip in. I mean, Fez, if true odds, Lakers 8th seed, everything else is the same to win the title. Just first thought.
40-1.
So it's one of those, if it's 15% to get there and 40-1 to win a title, I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but that's a pretty low number. when it comes to the idea that this season is going to end with a title. So if it's not going to end with a title, I think we're hearing and feeling you shut LeBron down, say he came back too soon from the hammy, and oh, by the way, that Lakers draft choice looks better, and whatever bargaining chips they have to make a move, well, don't they look better if the Lakers don't make the playoffs? When we come back, we're going to pick the games that matter for tonight, but also give you a stat that proves unequivocally how much has changed about the Lakers since LeBron has come back.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We've got a doubleheader in college hoops on ESPN, tipping off a little over 10 minutes from now at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse. It is number 2 Virginia at Syracuse. And right now, Virginia is a 6-point favorite on pregame.com.
And we've got Brad Powers. He has all the college knowledge.
Yeah, lean for me on Syracuse plus the 6 here. It's senior
night. So not a bet.
Not a bet. You could have gotten a much better number, and that's part of it. You could have gotten Syracuse plus 7 or 7.5 earlier.
So the money's been bet so far on Syracuse.
Lean right now at the current number on Syracuse. Senior night for 6 seniors on Syracuse's roster. And senior night for Syracuse has been a very positive effect for them. Keep in mind, Carrier Dome is the biggest arena in all in college basketball. You get a bigger crowd for this one. And Syracuse, the last 15 years, senior night, 12-3 straight up, 12-3 against the number, lean on the orange.
Ooh, 12-3 in this situation against the spread. They have more seniors than usual.
Yep.
And it's just that line move.
And the line, well, Virginia, RJ, when Virginia's not playing Duke this year, Virginia against the number has been incredible. 21-5 against the spread. They've been, I hate going against one of the best ATS teams in the country.
Ooh, sounds like a minute. Hey, listen, we don't have to bet every game. I tell you, some of your theories, Brad, on senior night, when it matters and when it doesn't, we'll get into as we encounter some of these various senior nights. How many starters are seniors? How often or how long do they play the non-starters early? Because that can be a disadvantage. All kind of factors. Lean, though, Syracuse.
That back half of the doubleheader in college hoops tonight takes place in Lubbock, Texas, where right now Texas Tech is a 7.5-point favorite hosting Texas.
Yeah, lean on the dog here, Texas plus the 7.5. Here's what I've seen from Texas. Because of their style of play, they're a pressure-style defense. Their head coach, Shaka Smart, you might remember from VCU. They're in your face for 40 minutes. Well, it's tough to get margin on Texas. They have not, Texas, lost a single game in the Big 12 this year by more than 7 points. They lost one of their key players, and that key player has been overvalued. Texas has covered 8 of their last 9 games. Lean on Texas plus 7.5. But again, RJ, you could have gotten Texas plus 9 earlier today. All the money's making it a lean and not a like.
And again, guys, one of the key sayings, the commandments of winning at sports betting is you bet numbers, not teams. And I know it's not fun, but that's the beauty of it. When we give you a lean, it means, hey, if you're betting for fun, whatever that means to you, could mean a dollar. If you're a billionaire, it could mean 10,000, whatever. If you're betting for fun, go with the leans. If you're betting for value, go with the likes. And you know something? We might have a big light coming up from Fez.
Guys, that's right. We have a best bet from Steve Fezzik, and it involves the battle for L.A. Tipping off later tonight at 10:30 Eastern time. It is the Clippers and the Lakers at Staples Center.
So first, let's set the context. Pregame.com, stats and information did the following. There were 34 games the Lakers played before LeBron's injury, plus 18 games without LeBron. So if you add up those two groups, so that's every game except since he's come back. The Lakers combined against the spread margin, which is you just add up how far they are away from the spread, was almost exactly even. Meaning in all those games, when before LeBron got hurt and while he was hurt, the Lakers were almost exactly as good as Vegas expected. In the 11 games since LeBron's returned, the Lakers are minus 9 points per game against the spread. So for all that time, they're exactly on the spread, and these 11 games are almost 10 points short of the spread. Fez, you got a best bet. You got 40 seconds.
Yeah, we're going LeBron James over 29 points. Hey, it's a critical game tonight. The Lakers are 4.5 games behind the Clippers. They're playing the Clippers. They need this game like blood. In the past, LeBron goes dad mode in these crucial game situations. I'm going over 29 points, LeBron James.
So the theory is, have the Lakers given up or not? If they lose tonight, it might be a foregone conclusion. So you think it's last gasp time, especially considering LeBron's an ego guy. He's been hearing a lot of jibber and jabber about him being the problem. Tonight, maybe he shows he's not the problem. Your bet is over
29 points for LeBron James.
For LeBron James tonight.
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. The Odd Couple is next here. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.